And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be this one, Alabama. And I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, hey, listen, we're going to jump into it. This is my favorite time of the week. I don't know why, but I get the biggest kick out of this. But we've been calling the segment Boomer McQueen because it's Boomer and McQueen. McQueen has had her commitments to the coaching that she's doing for the summer and has not been able to be with us for three times, this being the third. So we've had Boomer and Butters. And then we just like went, who else there in the audience can we work with? Boomer and Lee from Huntsville. And we thought, you know what, today, let's just call and see what happens. And sure enough, it's going to be Boomer and Sparky from Harvest. Sparky, are you with us?
I'm with you here from the very western part of Madison County, Alabama.
We're excited to have you on, brother. Thanks for making some time for us, more than just the usual phone call.
Oh, it's an honor to be a part of it. Thank you.
Well, absolutely. All right, you know how this works, though, right, Spark? I throw out questions. You guys give me your unimpeded thoughts, and then we flip the switch, and you guys ask me any question you want to later. Okay. All right. I expect wittiness. I expect excitement. Here we go. Hit me the whoop whoops. All right. Hey, listen. Here's the first question, fellas. I'm just going to throw this out there. So we're in the campaign season, right? And the Democrat National Committee, the DNC, they've already announced they're not even going to hold primary debates. I mean, it's not like Biden doesn't have actual primary opponents like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., but the DNC has already said they're not even going to hold primary debates. The Republican National Committee has said they are going to hold primary debates, but they got some qualifications for them. But Trump himself has not even committed to doing those debates. Give me your thoughts on the debate process and both parties. Who's first? Sparky, I'm going with you. You're the guest.
Well, all right. Thank you. Good question. To the side of the DNC, I think anybody that's studied these parties and our two-party system over certainly my lifetime, but in the last couple of decades, the DNC has demonstrated that they don't care what the American people want, nor do they care what the Democrat voters want. Hmm. In 2016, for instance, you were going to get Hillary Clinton in 2016, whether you wanted her or not.
Yeah.
And the front runner, Bernie Sanders, was to be summarily destroyed. And therefore, this doesn't surprise me one bit. I believe that they're just wise enough in their hubris and their arrogance to realize that Joe Biden could not hold a debate where he has to answer extemporaneously and it doesn't have the little things in his ears and everything reinforced and the little teleprompter screen going. He absolutely couldn't function. In fact, I don't think he could do a good debate with all those perks. So that's certainly the way they've chosen to do it. I think Robert F. Kennedy Jr. can destroy the man, in my opinion, even though he has trouble speaking lately. He's got a really tough time with his voice, I think. On the Republican side, with qualifications, I get it. Probably if you don't poll in the above the single digits, you shouldn't be on that stage. I can't remember the last time, but it seemed like there was like 13 people on the debate stage in the first round. That was kind of quick.
Well, but, so what do you think, though, if Trump is actually the front runner, should he commit to a debate just simply by the fact that he's considered to be the front runner?
I think he owed it. He would owe it to his loyal fans to demonstrate that he's still got that tough edge, right? It's one thing to stand up in front of thousands and thousands of people in the Jumbotron and in these rallies and to have to go toe-to-toe with somebody. So, no, I think he would be wise to do it. And anybody would be wise to want to debate against him if they're on the Republican side.
Yeah, I think so. And, I will say this to your point a minute ago about Biden. He has enough trouble with a teleprompter when he's not in a debate.
Absolutely.
All right. Boomer, debate stuff. What do you think, man?
All right, I'm going to agree with Sparky. Like with the Democratic Party, with them not doing the debates, they just again, they don't want bumbling Biden to bumble. And that's basically what it is, because like y'all said, even if he had one of those earpieces in, he would be over there trying to repeat what they say in the earpiece, but then look over and go,
did I do it right?
He would probably point at it. And did I do it right? And then he can't read the teleprompter, and he would get demolished by the other Democratic, you know.
He goes to press conferences with running. Laminated note cards in his hands that tell him who he's supposed to call.
And exactly. For them not to do the debates is basically just to save Biden.
They're rescuing him in advance.
They're rescuing him in advance.
They're anticipating problems, and they're like, let's don't even go there.
I know, and they're going to worry about like all the presidential stuff later.
What about the Republicans, though?
Republicans, with them doing the percentage for them to actually be on the stage,
yeah.
I think that's smart. I do. I think it's smart. But for Trump specifically, I think he should be there. Only because he is the front runner right now. And so with that, not only do we as Americans are the ones that support Trump want to hear from him, we also want to hear what he's wanting to do these next, you know, 4 years if he gets elected. You know, that's what I want to hear. I don't want him just to hide. I don't want to see him hide when I know he should not.
Okay, so let me ask y'all this. Right now, Trump's a front runner. Trump also lashes out. Anybody who dares to say something in opposition winds up getting branded, you know, with a nickname or whatever else. So just a random question here. All right, the Republican field, the ones that we believe are going to be on the stage right now, would be Trump, and then DeSantis, Tim Scott, Nikki Haley. Vivek Ramaswamy. Those are the ones that right now have apparently already earned the right to be on the stage. Of those, which one do you think would give Trump the biggest run for his money in a debate? Spark, you first.
Surprisingly, I would say because they won't let Condi Rice be on that stage, Ramaswamy. I like and admire Governor DeSantis a lot, but he lacks a certain amount of aplomb and sort of likability. It's hard to put your finger on that Ted Cruz thing, right? He doesn't quite have it. So I think that'd be his big challenger as far as just eloquence and comfortable digging in on the stage.
I will say Vivek Ramaswamy is the quickest person on his feet, thinking on his feet, that I've seen take a microphone yet. I mean, they're all good, and they've all got experience. But every time I see him in some way addressing the public or answering a question on any network, it's like the man has got poise like I've never seen. He just and you can tell he's brilliant. Your thoughts? Who do you think could take give Trump the biggest run for his money on the debate stage?
Honestly, I don't know. I would hope all of them, because I think just a little bit. I think Trump needs a little bit of humility sometimes.
Okay, well then let me ask you this. So, all right, I'm dragging this one out a little bit.
I think they should stand up. I mean, why not?
Well, they have to. They want to be president of the United States.
Exactly. I would want to see all of them do it.
All right, so here's my next piece of this then. Should they attack Trump or just work to say their points and let it be? Spark?
Say their points and let it be. There's a certain amount of class and dignity that comes with, I think, assuming that office. Trump got into office the first time by not being the Washington insider, and right now he's degenerated into a whole lot of pettiness and ugliness, and I think they would all be wise to rise above that sort of personal attack and say, hey, I'm going to compliment you, but I think I can do a better job than you.
All right. Boomer, you want to see them smack him around, or you want to see
I don't know about smacking around. I don't know if they should go after Trump. I think they should boldly stand for maybe something that Trump's not for. You know, if there's something that they boldly think of, boldly stand for, that maybe Trump's not.
Yeah.
Not. I think they should really make that a point, and then not throw it in his face, but more so.
Yeah. Okay.
Be there.
Because at some point you got to differentiate yourself.
Exactly. You can't just do everything Trump does, because why would anybody choose you?
All right. let's see if we can do the next question before we run out of time. All right, fellas. So here's the next question in this Boomer and Sparky round. By the way, just a minute ago, we got a text from John from Huntsville, Spark, and he says that the fact that we're calling it Boomer and Sparky sounds like we need to call out the fire department. Just let me know.
Absolutely.
All right. So our own U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville is making waves. I mean, he is... He is literally poking the bear, and it's not just on the Democrat side. There's some Republicans are getting irritated with his, you know, one-man war against the DOD and the policies on wokeness and abortion. He's slowing down the confirmations of these generals and admirals from being confirmed, not stopping him, just slowing them down. Is it time for him to move on, or is this a stand that we need? Sparky, I'll defer to you having served in uniform.
Well, I'll say with some authority that there's nothing about a gentleman or a lady being promoted that's going to affect the readiness of a given organization or in fact the entire branches of the armed forces. For a first-term senator, unbelievable bravery, in my opinion, here by sticking to his guns over the DOD's desire to, or the stated desire, to pay for service members to cross borders to obtain abortions wherever on the taxpayer dime. I applaud him for this bravery. I think it's unbelievable guts that he's going against a lot of the old guard, the old Washington swamp guard in his own party. So bravo to Coach Tuberville.
All right. Boomer, your thoughts?
I'm with Sparky completely. The way I look at Senator Tuberville right now is someone that has not only gained my trust, but also I know that he is serious and that he's not going to back down off of a fight or something that he believes in. And that means a lot to me just as a citizen. And knowing that he will stand up for that and he's doing it alone is pretty remarkable.
All right. Then, Boomer, what I need you to do right now is go ahead and say War Eagle.
I didn't know where you're going with it. I can't say those words, but I will say I admire Coach.
All right. How about that? Fair enough. All right. Hey, great first round. Perfect timing for the break. We'll take the break right now. We are guest hosting today as McQueen is out of town. We've got Boomer and Sparky. You guys stay tuned. We'll come up round two. This is where we flip the script. They ask me any question they want to, and I just hang on. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative. Just plain right. Making common sense a superpower. Making it cool to be a conservative. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. I got all my buzz lines. Hey, by the way, before I jump back in, we're doing, it's usually Boomer and McQueen, but today, because McQueen is off coaching, it's Boomer and Sparky, and I just got a text from Ruffly Ann from Huntsville, says, stellar idea incorporating ruffians into the segment when McQueen is obligated. Thank you, Ruffly Ann, and Sparky's holding his own today, so, all right, fellas, hit me some whoop-whoops. All right, round two of Boomer and Sparky. This is where I sit back in anxious anticipation. We flip the script. They get to ask me any question they want to. We're deferring to our guest host for the day first. Sparky, what's your question for me?
No, you're too kind. This is one you probably get asked a bit, and I have upon occasion, you having served in special operations in the theater, in the thick of it as a colonel in the U.S. Army. A young person is considering joining the U.S. military, and they ask your opinion on that career choice. They're fixing to finish high school, or they're part of the way through college, and they want to go join the Army or the Air Force, Marine Corps, Coast Guard. What do you say to them in today's climate?
I still say yes, and I say yes because I still think it's as much as you make it. And I think that if you go in knowing what you believe, like if you go in a skull full of mush and somebody tells you you're systemically racist and you go, oh, I didn't know, I'm so sorry, then you're going to have a hard time. But if you go in with principles and if you go in with the understanding you want to serve and you also go in with the understanding it's going to be hard and you want it to be hard and whatever specialty or MOS you choose, that you're going to be the best you can be at it, I think you can still have a very rewarding career. And we need people like that. And so if there's folks in this all-volunteer military that still want to serve, and I pray that they are because we need them, then basically I'm saying get her done. And but know what you believe and have those principles embedded, ingrained, and ready to stand up under any wokeness that somebody could portray. But I'll say this too, Spark, and you know the deal. I mean, I spent 30 years in. You spent a lot of years in. We do not have a systemically racist DOD. We have a woke upper level management of the DOD right now, but the rank and file, honorable in my opinion. What are your thoughts on that though?
I agree 100%. And your emphasis at the end there on please do it. We need more people who want to serve. And also, as I talked to my granddaughter who's considering the Air Force, you have a opportunity like no other time in history to go in there and do great things and improve things, because in a lot of ways culturally it's going to be an uphill battle. So, and over to Boomer.
Well, but at the same time though, I got to say, friends don't let friends join the Air Force. I just, you know, there's that. All right, Boom Shakalaka, what question do you have for me?
All right, so I'm going to go to a headline that you may have read off earlier, and it is, the Secret Service closes White House cocaine investigation, says it's not able to identify suspects.
Bull crap. What are my thoughts, I guess, is what your question.
What are your thoughts, and what are your thoughts? Like, why are they doing
that? My thoughts are, this is the biggest bunch of crap I have ever seen. If that's the case, then how protected is our White House right now? If you can, I mean, I've been in the White House before, and I've worked in the bowels of the Pentagon. And listen, to get into some of these locations, you have to have multiple card swipes. You have to have the ability to, you know, you leave your phone at a certain place so it's registered. The security guards know who you were when you came in. They have dogs that can sniff. They have the ultimate in surveillance equipment, which, by the way, I don't think there's a single room, with the exception of perhaps the president's bathroom, that Monica Lewinsky proved that it's also the back room behind the Oval Office. But nonetheless, there's very few places you can go that are not, you know, visually, you know, being recorded, audio being recorded. And the idea that somebody left behind their cocaine and they just can't figure out, you know, how that got there. I mean, dang. Plus, it was a plastic baggie is what we're being told. So either they were wearing gloves or they wiped that sucker down to get the fingerprints off of it.
And they know.
How about this? How about go look at the logs, see who was there, and drug test every individual who was in the White House at that particular day? Just
at least there's your suspects.
I mean, Sparky, how many times have you had to pee in a cup in your years of military service? You just do that sometimes, right? It just happens.
All the time, and even working for the military for years afterwards as a government servant and a contractor, it's expected. Yeah. By the way, you bring up another good subject. I say random urinalysis for everybody in the United States Senate and the House of Representatives on a no-notice basis. That would help us identify a lot of our problems.
I'm pretty sure we'd lose a third of the legislative body. But, you know, here's the other thing, too. I don't know if y'all saw this or not. A headline just broke a little while ago while we were on the air. It's just come to light that the Secret Service also found marijuana in the White House twice last year and didn't say anything about it. Just saying.
Wow. So they just happened to tell us about the cocaine.
The freaking Biden White
House. They're
still
not going to tell us whose it was.
No.
Whose
because,
it was.
You know. Whose, yes.
The big question is, why did that news ever get out? Why? How in the world with a culture in that administration, why did we ever hear about it anyway? That's so weird to me.
I know. The whole thing is mystifying, brother. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, the music's already playing. That means the sermon is over. But, Sparky, we appreciate you as always. Thanks for joining in today, man.
All right. Thank you for being the voice of truth and integrity on the radio. Appreciate you and Boomer.
All right. Thank you, brother. We'll see you. All right. That was Boomer and Sparky. Hey, coming up next, Dale Jackson's calling in. We're going to talk about the weaponization of government. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. right side ruffians out there. You are listening to